This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Authentic and honest conversations with Thabiso Kotane on Power 98.7.
Former President Thabo Mbeki is in Zimbabwe, already having held talks with President Emmerson Mnangagwa and opposition leader Nelson Chamisa to try and help end the nation's political crisis in that country. And Mbeki, we are told, is in Zimbabwe at Mnangagwa's invitation. But he met the two leaders separately, that is Mnangagwa himself as well as Nelson Chamisa. That was yesterday, and will meet other political parties, or has been meeting other political parties today. Tendai Biti is one of the people that former President Mbeki was scheduled to have a meeting with. Something that has received mixed reactions. I mean, if you go on Twitter, you'll see some people are saying perhaps this is a good idea. Some people are saying this is the same person that said that there was no crisis in Zimbabwe, so to speak. But to get an analysis on this, we're joined on the line by Brian Ragoro, who is a political analyst and lawyer. Brian, good evening to you. How are you?
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. I mean, this visit took me by surprise. I mean, for me, when I saw it, I thought, is it possible? Is it now? Or is this the footage that was there a long time ago? Were you also caught by surprise?
No, not at all. I anticipated that it would happen. And I wasn't sure when it would happen. If it wasn't President Mbeki, it would have been somebody else.
Why were you not surprised?
Things are not well in Zimbabwe. The political tensions within the ruling party, between the ruling party and the opposition, the parlous state of the economy, and the potential domino effect for the rest of the region are such that people can't sit back, twiddle their fingers whilst Zimbabwe burns. So literally something needed to be done. Someone needed to step up to the plate. And the challenge you had is that there was nobody within the region that has sufficient gravitas or sway with the different sides of the political divide. So, I mean, the fact that it was President Mbeki, it may be because he has sufficient trust with some of the political actors.
Yeah, yeah. But some people are skeptical, though, because of the role that they say he played, you know, when he first, you know, said that there was no crisis. I think it was 2008 and that government of national unity, which seemed to crumble, after a couple of months being in place. And there are some Zimbabweans who hold him personally responsible for not having acted hard enough, as they say, in Zimbabwe, despite the fact that when some of us ask, I mean, you know, was he the only person who held sway in terms of whether Zimbabwe gets back into its political and economic shape or not? You still get the different responses to that. But is Mbeki the right person? Is this visit, these talks that he's having with political parties in Zimbabwe going to bring about any changes, you think?
Zimbabwe is too important to be left to the Zimbabweans alone. I can assure you that there is not a single political actor within this region who would be deemed neutral or sufficiently neutral or non-problematic. I cannot think of any single one that would not either be seen as associated with the opposition or the ruling party or bearing some sympathies towards any one of the players. I think let's be mindful of the following, that the Mbeki is not the magic pill that Zimbabwe needs. Mm. But Zimbabwe needs somebody to get everybody talking, even if they don't agree at the end of the day. I think what's important is to move the country from this mutually destructive political impasse where nothing is happening. There's no political shift, there's no political movement, positions are entrenching, and we're galloping towards the 2023 election. it's going to land the country in a worse off position than it is in. When Mugabe left, the feeling was that the pariah status the country had gained would dissipate. There was international goodwill. That's all been scandalized. You've seen the scandalous way in which violence has been deployed. You've seen the attempts at economic revival boomerang, because without sufficient political trust and goodwill, very little else is going to work. And you've seen the hostility with which both actors within the country and actors outside the country are reacting to the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't it have been better, I'm just thinking aloud here, to at least, because apparently this was at the invitation of President Mnangagwa, to have chosen a Cyril Ramaphosa who can make things happen, you know, in terms of giving instructions to certain ministers to say, double your efforts to help the Zimbabwean economic situation. Because once you deal with the economic situation, you would have dealt with more issues that people on the ground would feel, as opposed, comparatively speaking, to the political situation among political parties themselves.
You are partly right, except that I hope you don't mean that a person who's able to instruct ministers to throw money at the Zimbabwean problem necessarily helps resolve it. We've seen this attempted by many countries with a little bit more money than South Africa would have. The fundamental crisis at the heart of the Zimbabwean question is governance. And the fundamental crisis within that governance is the lack of concern and consensus amongst two fairly, well-represented constituencies. So you're not going to solve it purely by, a quick fixing the economy. The historical nature of the crisis at hand and its various dimensions that, as you know, whether it's electoral disputes or the violence and so on and so forth, require nothing short of Zimbabweans across the political divide and Zimbabweans beyond the political party system talking, agreeing on what is in the collective national interest and tackling very difficult subjects. So politics has been chewing up Zimbabwe's prospects of recovery for almost two decades now, right? The GNU, with its inelegance and all the failings that were associated with it, did offer the country a window of recovery. That window was squandered, partly because the parties are so accustomed to old ways of doing things that they are unwilling to realize that the nation continues to hemorrhage and that it won't matter at the end of the day who wins the political beauty contest, as long as the economy continues in this state. And number two, for South Africa, I think that South Africa must be mindful, beyond the Zimbabwean immigrants question, the South African economy's largest trading partner in this region is Zimbabwe. So if things worsen beyond the current status, and given South Africa's own contradictions and challenges, both within the economy and politics, the Zimbabwean situation is going to become a big domestic situation for South Africa, and is going to hurt South Africa in more ways than it can imagine.
Nelson Chamisa has been calling for a dialogue, and he seems to have been ignored all along. You think that that's the point he drove home when he met with former President Mbeki?
Yes, and I'm quite sure he did. And I'm quite sure President Mnangagwa would have referred to his partnership with the political parties that failed to get representation in parliament. My own sense is there are four types of dialogue that need to happen. There's a broader social dialogue, which is about social cohesion. Do we want to live together as Zimbabweans? And if so, on what terms? Then there's the economic dialogue. That's about, should we continue on this neoliberal trajectory, hoping that benefits will trickle down to the common man? And then there's the third dialogue, which is about peace security, democracy, human rights. How do we align our laws to a constitution we agreed to in 2013? Today, as Mbeki was arriving in Harare, cabinet was discussing amendments to the constitution, which essentially undo some of the what would have been a consensus position. So it seems to me that not only is there lack of political will, but there's also this political brinksmanship, this gamesmanship, some of it infantile in nature, that seems to miss the point that the world does not owe Zimbabwe a living, that Zimbabweans, only Zimbabweans, can solve their only problem. And we need to show a measure of maturity in doing this. And there'll be give and take. ZANU-PF has to give up certain things. MDC will have to give up certain things. I don't think it will happen in one day. I'm not expecting any miracle, but I'm expecting maturity from both sides and from all Zimbabweans.
I was wondering aloud as I was watching this story unfold on television to say, how official are these talks? Because you know they does not speak of any commission. It's just having meetings with these politicians, talking, sharing ideas. But I was wondering how structured, how official is it?
By the time, so the nature of these things, this is called a contact visit. The negotiation that culminated in the GNU in 2008, we actually started talking to each other as early as 2003, 2004. Right? So I think that people have to realize, I think that everybody wants Zimbabwe out of their skin, out of their nose, out of their... The truth of the matter with a contact visit. A contact visit is not a promise to marry. A contact visit is an exploratory visit. Before a Ramaphosa or other high-end official can go into Zimbabwe, somebody must have done the scoping that says, okay, what are the real issues? Which of these issues are red herrings? Which are the, of these issues are deeply felt? What are the different positions of the different actors, civic, political, economic, and so on and so forth? Once one has a sense of the panoply of issues, right, you can then distill to what are the core areas in which the different actors are agreed, and what are the obstacles in the... So, in a sense, it may not necessarily be Mbeki who finally mediates, but you did need somebody to do what Mbeki has done, which is talk to everybody, treat them equally, find out what their issues are, find out if there's any prospect at all of them beginning to... Because remember, a dialogue is not necessarily a negotiation. It is essentially that says, let's talk, because grown-ups talk even when they have differences.
What is your overall message to Zimbabweans who are listening, who carry that skepticism about Mbeki?
Well, Mbeki cannot force the MDC and ZANU-PF to a table. Mbeki cannot dictate terms. Ultimately, the terms under which the country moves out of crisis would be determined by Zimbabweans. And Zimbabweans need to be pretty clear beyond the extent of differences we hold, which are political in nature and some of them ideological. What is it that we collectively want? What is that national interest that, irrespective of our political positions, we are unwilling to negotiate away? And then the other thing that we need to remember is that we've been in this mold since 2000 or before. We cannot keep the country in election mode any longer whilst the economy declines and the social indices are almost at the bottom of the pit. The misery that our people are going through, the misery, the suffering that is caused by this political impasse calls on every empathetic Zimbabwean to say, nothing is worth reducing our people into a spectacle. into mere animalistic existence because we wish to make political points. And this means those that wield power must realize that you cannot by force institute consent. Those who want power must realize that we don't need to break a country in order to get power. But for everybody else who's outside Zimbabwe, the days of quiet diplomacy are over. At some stage, we are all going to have to hold some ethical and moral mirror to the Zimbabwean leadership. There is a form and a way of doing things that's inconsistent with what we've agreed at SADC, at the African Union. That's inconsistent with the very ethos of Pan-Africanism and the ethos of liberation for which many people died in this region. So I think that nobody gets away clean. But because it's no dialogue is ever perfect, I'd say to Zimbabweans, whether it's Mbeki or anybody else, it is not a beauty contest of perfection. It is a question of who will create that window of opportunity for us to finally resolve the several issues that constitute our national crisis.
Brian, thank you very much, sir. Thanks for talking to us. We really appreciate your insight.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian.
There you go. Brian Kagoro, there was a political analyst and lawyer talking to us about Mbeki's contact conversations or visits to various political parties in Zimbabwe, having met with President Mnangagwa as well as the leader of the opposition, Nelson Chamisa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.